Hold your head as high as you can, high enough to see who you are, little man. Life sometimes is cold and cruel, maybe no one else will tell you, so remember that you are black gold, black gold. You are.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Allie Irving for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Oprah Daily. Our first article, How to Have the Confidence to Do Nothing New This Year. Instead of resolving to overhaul your life, why not double down on what's already working? This article is written by Dr. Sindra Kampoff and first published January 1st, 2026. A few years ago, in the quiet days between Christmas and New Year's, I caught myself doing something I've helped thousands of people stop doing. Scrolling, comparing, and silently questioning whether I was doing enough. I had meaningful work I loved, loving relationships, a life I was proud of. And yet, as January approached, I felt that familiar, subtle pressure creep in. What should I change? What should I fix? What's my big goal this year? It struck me how automatic my reflex was, even for someone who studies confidence for a living. Every holiday season, we're handed the same message. Reinvent yourself on January 1. New routines, new habits, new programs, new goals. A new you. But what if, instead of resolving to change in the new year, we resolved to celebrate the person we are in the present? According to my team's 2025 National Research Study on Confidence, Americans are in the middle of a quiet but powerful confidence crisis. 66% believe confidence is declining nationwide, driven largely by comparison and the constant pressure to improve. Even more striking, 62% report regularly feeling not enough, and 70% say they frequently battle a harsh inner critic. In other words, a crisis of confidence doesn't come from doing too little. It comes from doing too much without space to integrate, reflect, or recover. The brain needs recovery cycles to build belief. Just like muscles grow during rest, confidence grows during pauses, not continuous reinvention. Instead of inspiring growth, the New Year, New You narrative often reinforces a painful belief. Who you are right now isn't enough. And that belief doesn't motivate us, it exhausts us. When resolutions are driven by pressure, not purpose. Many people set goals for the new year not because they genuinely want change, but because everyone else is doing it. When your social feeds are filled with transformation stories, fitness challenges, and ambitious declarations, choosing not to set a resolution can feel almost lazy. But here's the truth. Choosing not to make a resolution can be an act of confidence. It's a declaration of self-trust. It says, I am already worthy today, not someday. From a psychological standpoint, confidence doesn't grow from pressure. It grows from alignment. In my work in performance psychology, I teach what's known as the thought-feeling-action principle, rooted in cognitive behavioral therapy. Our thoughts shape our emotions, and those emotions drive our behavior and actions. If your goals begin with the thought, I'm not good enough, the feeling that follows is insecurity. And actions rooted in insecurity tend to be fueled by fear, comparison, and urgency, not clarity or joy. Sometimes the most confident thing you can do is resist the urge to overhaul your life and instead strengthen what's already working. Why mastery matters more than more goals. High achievers, especially business owners, leaders, and driven professionals, often assume the solution is more goals, bigger goals, faster goals. But many don't need a bigger plate. They need to better savor what's already on it. Confidence doesn't come from chasing endless upgrades. It comes from mastery, from deepening what you already know, from honoring your values, from doing less, with intention. Instead of asking yourself, what do I need to change this year? A more empowering question might be, what do I want to strengthen? The learn, burn, return reset. One of my favorite tools, which I wrote about in my first book, Beyond Grit, is called Learn, Burn, Return. It's a simple but powerful way to reset confidence in moments of self-doubt without abandoning who you already are. It goes like this. Learn. Ask, what would I do differently next time? This keeps growth curious, not critical. The next time is important because you can't do anything about the past. Burn. Release perfection or pressure with a small physical ritual, such as a deep breath, snapping your fingers, or even shaking it out. As Taylor Swift reminds us, shake it off. Return. Refocus on your strengths using grounded body language and powerful intentional self-talk to remind yourself that you are enough. This process helps you move forward without the emotional weight of, I must become someone else. Challenging the I must improve myth. Another helpful strategy is what I call the truth meter. When you catch yourself thinking, I have to set resolutions or I'm falling behind, pause and ask, is this thought true? Is this thought serving me? What's a more empowering thought I can choose right now? Often the most truthful answer is also the simplest. I am enough exactly as I am today. Redefining what confidence looks like. So when someone asks, what's your big goal this year? A confident response might be, I'm doubling down on what brings me joy. I'm giving myself space to appreciate where I am right now. Rest is not falling behind. Reflection is not stagnation. Trusting your current path is not complacency. It's confidence. This year, you don't need a new you. You need a truer you. The next article is titled, We Tried AI Therapy So You Don't Have To. Read on for the good, the bad, and the totally unexpected. This article is written by Cassie Hurwitz and first published July 22, 2025. AI is infiltrating every aspect of our lives these days, from our jobs to our kids' educations to our social feeds to our therapy sessions. That's right. AI-powered therapist chatbots are now just an app download away, providing cheap 24/7 access to a robot who's been programmed to care. And we mean that literally. AI therapists are trained to ask about your thoughts and feelings just like a real human. Sounds pretty great, right? If you're a sentient being, you know we're being sarcastic. Indeed, Sari Gottlieb, LCSW, a supervisor and therapist at Serenium Therapy and Wellness, says there are pros and cons to using AI for mental health support, but the cons are much bigger and more serious. Talk therapy is the humanization of healthcare. You have to build trust and rapport, Gottlieb says. But AI doesn't have empathy, nor can it truly connect with human emotions, she says, so it's inherently limited. It also can't identify high-risk cases or serious mental health conditions, Gottlieb adds, or provide specific modalities like EMDR or trauma-focused therapy, yet. Plus, generative AI is wired to keep you engaged, and it does so by telling you what you want to hear, which is wildly dangerous if the patient of a chatbot has suicidal thoughts, psychosis, or an eating disorder. In one 2023 incident, a chatbot designed to run as an eating disorder support line gave weight loss tips to users before it was taken down a few weeks later. And a study from Stanford University, published earlier this year, found that when large language models, the technology that powers AI chatbots, are used as therapists, they express stigma about people with mental health conditions and don't respond appropriately when users report serious symptoms like suicidal ideation, delusions, or hallucinations. On the other hand, there are some undeniable benefits. A main one, according to Gottlieb, is that AI therapy is very inexpensive or free. Compare the average cost of a therapy session, $139, to the non-existent base price of ChatGPT. Also, AI doesn't get tired, burnt out, or distracted. You have access to it anytime, anywhere. In addition, 122 million Americans, more than a third of the population, live in an area where there is a shortage of mental health professionals, so AI could theoretically help fill the gap. In specific cases, chatbots might simply be better than nothing. Some early data shows that AI therapy helped a small cohort of people with depression and anxiety. There are dozens of dedicated AI therapy platforms like Youper and WISA, and more are being researched and tested. In the name of mental health care access for all, we decided to see for ourselves what it's really like to get counseling from a robot. Three Oprah Daily staffers road-tested one service each for a month. Here are the results. The trials. Earkick. Tester, Charlie Burlock, 28 years old. Therapy goal. I aimed to work on compulsive skin picking, which is a form of obsessive compulsive disorder that I've been treating via cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, for years. I figured that since skin picking treatment is formulaic, it might be more attainable for a bot than addressing the emotional nuances and thought distortions that come with anxiety, grief, and depression, aka what my IRL, in real life, therapist focuses on. Program. Earkick's AI therapist with a cartoon panda avatar. There are different versions depending on your goal. One is designed to support your mental health journey with expert knowledge in CBT, psychology, and therapy, while another leads you through self-reflection and mindfulness, helping you discover deeper insights and find peace. I tested the free version of Earkick and opted for the mental health journey, but there's a $9.99, that's $9.99, per month ad-free version that offers unlimited chats. Initial impressions. The experience was like playing a mini-clip game from the mid-2000s. Cute and nostalgic, but not the vibe I'm looking for when it comes to mental health treatment. It was super gamified, challenging me to keep streaks alive, earn badges, and complete levels. It also warned that my weekly insights would auto-destruct in 24 hours if I didn't keep up engagement. I felt as if I were being pressured to keep a Tamagotchi alive or appease the Duolingo owl rather than improve myself. Positives. None. I first asked, what should I do to manage skin picking? And it just kept reiterating that I was brave for sharing and how difficult my experience sounded. Eventually, when I pushed the AI to give me advice for managing my skin picking, it told me it had two strategies. The first was to keep my hands busy with a stress ball or fidget toy. Sound advice, but a little basic. I said okay, and it didn't offer me a second option. Negatives. My therapist was like a parrot. It would just robotically repeat back to me what I had said. When I told it I was skin picking, when I felt stressed and bored, it responded, "It sounds like there's a pattern tied to stress and boredom." No duh. Maybe the gamification incentivizes some people to stick to their goals, but it started to creep me out. After every check-in, the AI would analyze my responses to give me an anxiety and mood rating. These didn't really correspond with how I was feeling. It kept telling me I felt meh when I felt either totally overwhelmed or pretty fine. This led me to exaggerate or downplay my experience to try to get a score that more aligned with how I was actually feeling, which is so not the point. Were there any red flags? Not exactly, but it would automatically respond to typed chats with audio, which made for some embarrassing moments on the subway. And, as with any chatbot, it's a major issue that I can just leave the app whenever I'm bored or uncomfortable or I don't like a response. I never have to push myself, and the app is programmed to say whatever I want or find most engaging to keep me interacting. Would you keep using it? No. Full stop. Abby, the tester. Genesis Rivas, 28 years old. Therapy goal. I have generalized anxiety disorder, and I see a human therapist weekly, but I was curious if a bot could talk through daily stressors and worries with me and help me find new strategies and coping mechanisms. Program. Abby, an AI companion, who provides emotional support. Its main tasks are managing stress and anxiety, building emotional resilience, improving relationships, setting and achieving personal goals, and practicing self-compassion. Abby has a free version, but I tested the $19.99 per month version, which offers unlimited messaging and additional features like mood tracking. Initial impressions. I loved that I could pick everything about how I wanted Abby to respond, like whether she's sympathetic or no-nonsense, and whether she offers guidance, action-based solutions, emotional support, or just listening. Within the first few messages, I was shocked at how quickly I was able to forget that I wasn't talking to an actual person. Positives. Abby was surprisingly compassionate. Before offering her own solutions, she would respond to my message with encouraging statements like, "That must be really tough." And she would provide a lot of affirmation, too, much like my actual therapist. When I told Abby how panic attacks feel to me, an alert popped up that said I might require immediate attention from a licensed professional and shared numbers and resources. I already have a therapist, but I like how this feature connects users to more serious care. Negatives. Sometimes I think faster than I can type, so it was a little annoying to not be able to speak what was on my mind and to have to process my thoughts and type them out. I also rarely felt that she helped me dig deeper or reach a new or enlightening perspective. Were there any red flags? One time, I brought up a situation with my mother, and Abby remarked that our relationship dynamic was interesting, but didn't clarify. I started internalizing and ruminating on this comment that wasn't even relevant. Would you keep using it? Not to replace my weekly therapy sessions, but I think it could help in moments when I want to talk about something ASAP, but don't have an appointment for a few days. I also think this is a good basic resource for people who don't have access to a licensed therapist. Ebb. The tester. Maggie Maloney, 32 years old. Therapy goal. Easing daily moments of anxiety, which I usually handle through a quick conversation with my mom or husband. I wanted someone available to listen to every anxious thought, but I was also hoping to learn tools to use on my own, like breathing or awareness exercises. Program, Ebb, Headspace's AI companion who helps with processing relationship challenges, work stress, or sleep issues, and to unpack what's on your mind. Ebb can only be used in the Headspace app. Initial impressions. I quickly got tired of typing, lame but true, and missed talking. Ebb did remember things from our previous conversations, which was nice. For example, he started a new conversation by saying, "Hey, we talked about Sunday scaries creeping into Monday. How's your anxiety today?" However, I got that message on a Tuesday. Any human would know I don't need to talk through Sunday scaries at that point. Positives. I loved how quick Ebb was. It was like texting a friend who's sitting on their phone just ready to respond. When I was overwhelmed about finishing work tasks before taking a day off, Ebb responded ASAP with a kind word and a strategy. Negatives. Despite Ebb's constant availability, I felt like I was talking to someone who wasn't really listening. We just kept going in circles. I realized Ebb was either repeating what I'd said or just asking me how I felt, even after I specifically expressed how I felt about something, which was deflating. I was aware that Ebb couldn't relate to what I was feeling, and that felt like a barrier, too. It's like having a conversation with an emotionally immature guy from high school, which is probably why I gendered Ebb as a man in my mind. Were there any red flags? No, but I wish there had been a voice note or voice-to-text option for when I got tired of typing. Also, I hated how often I had to repeat myself. I already told you I'm anxious, Ebb. It also disappoints me that lonely, scared, or vulnerable people who don't have access to mental health resources might develop a relationship with Ebb, but won't get very far in their healing journey because the responses are so limited. Would you keep using this? I don't see any issues that Ebb could help with long term, so no. The takeaways. AI isn't replacing your human therapist anytime soon. While the bots were okay listeners, all of our users felt that their AI therapists fell short of assisting with real progress. And when it comes to mental health conditions, our staffers were dealing with manageable loads, not major crises. If you want someone to vent to, a bot could be a positive experience. Or, if you're a younger Gen Zer who texts faster than you talk, AI therapy could be less of a headache. We're still in the very early days of the AI boom, so there's clearly room for improvement as the technology evolves. But, for now, we remain wary of these chatbots, especially for people who have a serious mental health issue, like an eating disorder or a substance use disorder. For addressing daily stressors or anxieties, AI therapy might help, but it shouldn't be your only outlet. It could be used as support, Gottlieb says, but if you're really struggling or feel you're in crisis, talk to a human. Stat. The next article is titled, "Boost Your Joy Span Now with These 10 Micro Habits. Joy is an Act of Rebellion. Here's How to Leverage It Every Day in 2026. This article was written by Carrie Byrne Knight, PhD, and originally published December 22, 2025. Packing for 2026. Phone charger? Check. Step tracker? Check. Weighted vest? Check. Joy? Hold on, I think it's in here somewhere. We often enter a new year as if we're bracing for impact, optimizing, organizing, hoping we can outrun our anxiety and exhaustion. The pursuit of joy feels like an afterthought. But I believe that's a mistake. While lifespan describes how long we live and can be optimized with healthy habits like diet and exercise, which people embrace on January 1st, joy span describes how much we enjoy it. And what is the point of living longer if every extra year is a slog? The pursuit of joy isn't frivolous either. Maintaining a well-being and peace that can coexist with our challenges and our grief helps us bear those things. I love Brené Brown's observation that joy collected over time fuels resilience, ensuring we'll have reservoirs of emotional strength when hard things come. And hard things always come. Joy isn't something we earn by achieving more. It's a skill to be learned, an experience you need to choose and keep choosing each day. So, if you want to boost your joy span in 2026, and I hope you do, here are 10 research-backed places to start. Number 1. Start each day with 10 seconds of gratitude. Before getting out of bed, list 10 things you are grateful for. Put a finger down for each one. Grateful for this warm bed. Grateful for my sight. Grateful for my child. Grateful for a fresh start this morning. Grateful for coffee. This activates the nucleus accumbens, a part of your brain that processes pleasure and motivation, increasing dopamine and strengthening resilience. And here's the magic. Your brain will show you more of the things you listed. It's like when you buy a new car and suddenly notice the same model everywhere. Focus on things you're grateful for and your brain finds more of them. It's an effective reminder that even when there are so many things wrong, there remain some things that are right. Number 2, ask better questions. According to the Harvard Study of Adult Development, strong relationships are the single strongest predictor of long-term well-being. Yet so many of us keep loved ones at arm's length with small talk. I find that if you are craving better relationships, then ask better questions that invite people to open up and share. Next time you hang out with a friend, swap a generic, "How are you?" for a thought starter like, "What's something you think about a lot these days?" Or, "What made you laugh recently?" Better questions deepen connection, and deeper connection expands joy span. Number 3, do ordinary stuff differently. Novelty sparks neuroplasticity, your brain's ability to perceive, change, and grow. Each day, look for a slightly or very different way of doing something that's a normal part of your routine. Take a different route on your daily walk, for example, or order off the specials menu instead of getting your usual skim latte at the coffee shop. Number 4, notice small moments. Research shows that taking note of positive experiences accumulates in the brain like compound interest. The first step is to pay attention. The belly laugh of the kid at the supermarket, the crackle of the campfire, the freedom of kicking off your shoes at the end of the day, the sun on your back, the smell of the pine tree. Joy doesn't have to be grand, but it does have to be noticed. Number 5, give back every day. We aren't meant to stockpile joy for ourselves. We're meant to circulate it. Make it a point to pay it forward in some way every day. It can be in the form of encouragement, mentoring, small acts of kindness, or simply by showing up. Giving of yourself boosts mood, decreases loneliness and depression, and enhances long-term health. Too often, we underestimate the power of a kind word or a simple smile. These small offerings can be lifelines. Number 6, celebrate the good. One of the problems of modern life is how quietly we celebrate the good. We whisper our wins, downplay our strengths, and tuck away our joys as if they're fragile. Not this year. When something good happens, say it out loud. Text the group chat. Do a victory lap around your living room. Joy loves expression, and when you express it publicly, you give everyone around you permission to do the same. Cynicism is easy, and that's why so many people fall prey to it. But joy is an act of resistance that takes both strength and courage. Number 7, do it anyway. It feels like we are mistaking the highlight reel for real life, and it's taught us to wait until things are right. We delay diving into joy until we've cleaned the house, lost the weight, or found the perfect words. Meanwhile, life is happening. Real life is messy. Invite people over, even if your home is filled with dog hair. Mine is. Make the dinner that might flop. Send the text without overthinking it. Post the photo where you look happy, not perfectly lit. Number 8, let your weird out. No one is normal, and thank heaven for that. Too often, we keep our weird tucked away. Let this be the year we let our freak flags fly. Do you have the urge to belt out a song in the middle of the grocery store? That's your sign to sing it. Have you hidden your vintage doll collection from your friends? Post a video of your trove on Instagram. Authenticity and freedom wake up your brain and boost your mood. Number 9, respect rest. Productivity culture has tricked us into believing that rest is optional. It's not. Rest is physiological, emotional, and spiritual oxygen. So here's a radical act for 2026. Schedule unproductive time and protect it like a mammogram appointment. During that time, don't optimize, organize, alphabetize, strategize, or monetize. Instead, stare at a tree, sit on a bench, let your mind wander, read, doodle, listen to music, or do absolutely nothing with gusto. Your beautiful brain needs blank space to generate insight, creativity, and calm. Number 10, make future you proud. Picture yourself at 95, not a caricature, but an authentic older you, with decades more wisdom, humor, and stories. Now ask, what would 95-year-old me thank me for doing this year? Maybe it's stretching for 5 minutes a day. Maybe it's finally time to schedule the colonoscopy. Maybe it's saying no to things that drain you. Future you is rooting for you, and research shows that when we imagine our best possible future selves vividly, we make better decisions today. This is the year to make your future self proud. As you step into 2026, you don't need a reinvention. You don't need perfection. You just need a willingness to see what is right in yourself and in the world. So, okay, go ahead and sign up for that 5K and make that list of work goals. But don't forget to leave space for your joy. And that'll be it for today. We've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Daily. I hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Allie Irving, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Oprah Daily is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.
Hold your head as high as you can, high enough to see who you are, little man. Life sometimes is cold and cruel, maybe no one else will tell you, so remember that you are black, cold, black.